The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
This impact segment will be dedicated to a miracle that happened in the family of one of my closest friends who was on the hotline. Kevin Malone is co-founder of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, centered in Las Vegas. He is also past general manager in Major League Baseball of the Montreal Expos and our very own L.A. Dodgers. And there is a new film video out that we want to make you aware of that involves literally a miracle that happened in the Malone family. Kevin Malone, my brother, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show.
Frank, I'm humbled to be on your show, and it's such an honor to be with the best radio man in America.
Well, I didn't pay you to say that, but the check's in the mail.
It's always fun to be with you, Frank. I love the fact that you love Jesus. You're a man of God, and you're pointing people to the Savior, so who else would I want to spend time with other than you? So thanks for who you are and what you do. You're a good friend and a godly man that I look up to. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Obviously, the sentiments are mutual, and we can talk back and forth about how much we love each other. But above all, it's our love for Christ that bonds us. And I want to give you the opportunity to share the story of what happened to Sean. And when I told somebody that when I mentioned last night I'm going to have a guest on at 4 o'clock, a miracle happened in his family, and I kind of told him what happened. My friend said, no, I don't believe that. And I'm like, this is a good buddy of mine. This happened. So before we get into what happened with Sean, I want you to spend a moment and talk about your time when this occurred and where you were at and your faith.
Well, Frank, this occurred on July 2nd, 2013. My son Sean was a senior at University of Southern California. I had been away from the Dodgers for a while, and I had owned a Mercedes-Benz dealership and had sold out of that. And I was actually doing ministry primarily at the Los Angeles Dream Center. So I was just focused on serving others and trying to glorify and honor God when this happened and when my son's situation occurred. So I thought I was in a decent place with my faith. I thought I was trying to please God and live obediently. Obviously, I mess up and fall short and sin way more than I should. But I thought I was fairly solid. But, I think God, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. So this experience with my son, I'd been fired from the Dodgers about 12 years before. So that was a painful experience, I resigned, but I was going to be fired. And then my son almost dying. And that's what the movie's about, this miraculous healing, of God. And so it's been an interesting journey, as you know, in my life, Frank, and I give all the praise and the glory to Jesus, and he deserves it all, obviously.
Now, I'm going to share a brief story, and then we're going to get into what happened with Sean. I don't know if I've ever told you this publicly, but I remember it like it was yesterday. It was one of the first times I met you. You were at the radio station. We were in Catherine Worthington's office. It was a Friday, and we were just talking about your work at the Dream Center, and let's get together, and let's partner. And my recollection was literally within a couple of days, I got a text from you, please pray for my son. He's in serious condition.
And I did not know that, Frank. I know that when this happened, when Sean overdosed on that day, July 2nd, and we rushed him to the emergency room at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica, I sent out texts and emails to men and women of God asking for just that prayer, asking people to fast because we needed a miracle because the doctors were saying his vitals were shutting down and he was going to die.
Did you ever hear, and I'm not asking this for dramatic purposes, but I think it's twofold to talk about the Sean miracle and also obviously glorify and point to God for just what an amazing God he is. Did you ever hear a doctor tell you basically there's no hope, your son is gone? How bad was it?
Yeah, it was that bad. It was the neurologist that said these exact words. This was after he made it through the first night. Three or four days later, he called Marilyn, my wife, and I, off to a little meeting and said, we don't think your son's going to wake up. The brain activity is pretty much non-existent, so therefore he is brain dead. I would suggest that you guys pull the feeding tube, starve him to death, because if he wakes up from this coma that he's in, he's not going to want to live because he'll be in a vegetative state. And so he gave us no hope and basically said, kill your son because that's the best thing for him. And my exact response to him, Frank, was, well, I know you're giving us no hope and the world has no hope for him, but we know the God of hope. Mm. We know that he is a God that heals and is in the miracle business. And we're going to put our faith, our trust, and our hope, not in you, not in doctors, not in hospitals, but in God. And he kind of smirked and said, well, I hope that works out for you. So that was the exact situation that happened about July 5th or 6th in 2013. So it was dire. It was extremely painful. There was a lot of suffering that we experienced, a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
And because everybody was telling us, or at least at the hospitals, that there was no hope for our son.
Yeah. Kevin Malone is my guest. The movie is called The Sean Miracle. The website, SeanMiracle.com. Sean is spelled S-H-A-W-N. How long of a period of time was this? Was your son, you made mention that they said there's no brainwave activity. You might as well just pull the plug. Was he in a coma? How long was he in a coma for?
Well, Frank, he overdosed on that on the night of July 1st or early in the morning on July 2nd. He was in a coma almost 60 days. We were at one hospital. They asked us to leave because they couldn't do anything to help him. We went to another hospital in Los Angeles. They basically were a little bit better, but they said the same thing. We can't help him. There's no hope. So we found a doctor in a hospital in Inglewood, Colorado, Craig Hospital, Dr. Alan Weintraub. And he said, you know, we don't know for sure, but we think he'll come out of this coma. So we air ambulanced him over there after, you know, 2-3 weeks in L.A. And, you know, a month or so later, by the mercy and grace of God, Sean came out of his coma. So it was definitely a miracle because the world says he was basically not there anymore, that, you know, he was, you know, brain dead and in a coma. So, you know, people want to downplay a miracle. They don't want God to get any credit. I think it's, you know, it's interesting because I think, you know, people coming to know the Lord is a spiritual miracle, but you would think people would have a little bit more understanding of seeing someone that was basically dead that's back to life.
Yes.
So they come, you know, that God gives life to again, but people want to just downplay God. I think, you know, it's not so much the miracle, Frank, itself. I think they believe that if they admit that there is a miracle, then they're admitting there is a God,
right?
And that there is a God that they don't really know that well. And so that's why we made the Sean Miracle, the movie, was to tell people about this real, amazing, merciful, loving God and you can know him and do life with him through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. If you repent, ask for forgiveness of your sins and follow Jesus, that you can live this life, this amazing life. And it's a crazy journey, Frank. You know a lot of my story and things, even apart from my son, Sean, yep, that I've experienced. And I give God all the honor and glory because it's been exciting. It doesn't mean, you know, when Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior, all your problems go away, the trials and tribulations are gone. It just means that God is with you through those. He provides peace, comfort, encouragement, guidance, direction, and he helps you through those difficult times. So that's why we made the movie, is to bring honor and glory to God and to tell people that there is hope, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ.
Yep, amen. Movie is SeanMiracle.com is the website. A man that was integral at that time in your life, of one of your closest friends, my first pastor, I call him a dear friend too, Francis Chan, he was kind of in the middle of all of this as well. What would you, and we obviously don't want to give too much away. The movie is 20 minutes. It's powerful. I saw the first one. You showed me, well, I'll get to that story in a moment. I got to tell people what you did to me at Patty's breakfast place out in Burbank, Toluca Lake, one morning, where you said, hey, I just want to show you this. What do you think? But I'll talk about that in a second when I first saw the Sean movie. But how about Francis? How did Francis fit into all this?
Well, Francis and I became really close friends when I started going to church out in Simi Valley at Cornerstone. And, you know, he fancies himself quite the athlete, so he's really not. So we started playing golf together, going to Lakers games, going to USC football games, and just kind of hanging out, having fun. And then, you know, he started asking me to travel with him when Lisa, his wife, or one of his kids couldn't go on a trip, and he needed like an accountability partner. I would go with him, and we did some of those trips together. So we were close, and we were friends, and, you know, we could be real with each other. And that's the one thing about Francis Chan. He is a real man. He's genuine, and what you see is what you get. So we just asked him to really pray, and his family prayed. And then he and one of his daughters came to visit Sean at the second hospital and prayed over him. And it kind of shook them up a little bit because they didn't know he was going to be in such a bad condition, especially his daughter. And they prayed. And actually, during that prayer, when Francis was there, Frank, Sean cried.
And really?
Yes, he actually cried. It was the second time he showed any expression while he was in a coma. And this was probably 3 weeks, maybe almost 4 weeks into the coma. When Francis was praying and we were crying out to God for a healing, and he started crying. It was hard. I get goosebumps thinking about it now. It was God just showing up and encouraging, you know, Marilyn and I and Shannon, as well as Francis and his daughter. So we're really close. We stay in touch. We were texting the other day. He's an amazing man of God. And sure, I know he's come under fire lately, Frank. Have you probably seen a lot of people attacking him because they say he's hanging out with the wrong kind of Christians. You know, it's interesting. We live in this cancel culture, and I never thought I'd see the day that people would be attacking Francis Chan because he's sharing the gospel on a platform with people that they don't identify with, and they question their theology some of these other people. So anyway, that's the world we live in, and I've got a positive story to tell about God, and that's why we made the Sean movie.
Yeah, amen. Now, I know Francis also... Well, let me just ask the direct question instead of just filling in the blanks. You can just address it. How was Sean? Did Sean have faith before he OD'd and was in this place where it was, you know, doctor said this is it? How was his faith?
No, he did not.
Okay.
He had no faith. In fact, he had told my wife, Marilyn, that he was going to be genuine. He was going to be real about it. And he didn't believe the way we did. He knew that we had this strong faith in God and Jesus Christ, and we serve people, we love people, we help people, and he admired and respected that, but it wasn't real for him, and he wasn't going to fake it because a lot of our friends, their kids that he knew, were doing the same things he was doing, drinking and drugging and partying, and he wasn't going to be a hypocrite. So he goes, "You get what you see is what you get," which I respected, but it scared me that he would say that. Obviously, that he didn't have any faith, and he said, "You know, that's your all's faith," and that was our prayer, is that one day his faith would be his own; it wouldn't be based on our faith and in Jesus. And that's exactly what happened. So we were scared to death for him, praying and crying out that God would, you know, would reveal himself to Sean, and Sean would become a born-again believer. But it took him almost dying and God coming down and intervening and giving Sean a second chance and rescuing him from eternity in hell.
So let me...
I mean, it's a powerful...
Not
only physical story, Frank, but also a spiritual story.
No
doubt. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to reintroduce the movie. Is SeanMiracle.com is the website. Kevin Malone is my guest. So I just want to encourage you to continue. I didn't mean to interrupt, but... I know there's a question hanging out there that people are thinking. So when Sean actually woke up from the coma, doctors had said he'd be not good. He'd be in a vegetative state.
Yes.
Talk about those early days when he woke up. Was he fully lucid? Yes. What about a recovery process? And then talk about his love for the Lord now. Yes.
Well, see, I think that's the interesting point, is that when he woke up, he was legally blind. He couldn't stand. He could barely talk, and he couldn't walk. So he had to go through 5 months of physical therapy. But Frank, the story in the Bible that I relate to is when Jesus touched the blind man's eyes, and he said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see men as trees." And then Jesus touched his eyes again. Basically, what that says to me is sometimes healings are immediate or 100%, but oftentimes there's a process that you have to go through, that the healing is part of the journey, and that you're healed over time. And that's what I think God revealed to us, is that Sean and our family needed to do everything we could through speech therapy, physical therapy, all the therapies he needed. Now, mentally, he was fine, mm-hmm. but physically, he had some real challenges, so he had to go through this therapy. So God healed him through the process. And I think that's a kind of a message for all of us. We need to do what we can do.
Yeah.
Jesus gave us hands and feet to do things, and a brain to do things. We need to pray and ask God to do what only he can do. But we need to work hard and do the things that we can do when we have certain situations like a physical therapy. So that's where he was. But before before his drug overdose, he was running after the world, Frank. He was pursuing things of the world, you know, doing drugs, getting drunk, partying at USC, getting in fights, getting locked up, all the crazy things that, you know, go with that, being in the darkness. And once he came to know Jesus, once he gave his life to the Lord, he repented. Now he's running after God wholeheartedly. He's studied Hebrew. He speaks and reads a little Hebrew. We've been to Israel a bunch of times. He's been 3 times. He listens to worship music. He listens to sermons. So here's a guy that was running hard after the world, that had an encounter with Jesus, and now he's running hard after God, after Jesus. So that's a transformation of the heart. That's a spiritual miracle, Frank, as you know. Mm-hmm. We can talk, and it's great. As Francis said in the movie, yeah, it's great that he's healed physically. But what's more important is that he's spiritually healed, and he now is in a personal relationship with Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen. Kevin Malone is my guest. We're talking about his dear son, Sean. There is a movie. SeanMiracle.com is the website. Kevin, a couple more questions.
Yes, sir. Ask anything you want, Frank.
Yeah, I know
I'm
you.
Open book.
I know you are. I'm just, there's a question that I want to ask, and I just sense a prompt, like a question the Lord wants me to ask you. So we're always going to go with what the Lord says.
Okay. Amen.
I mentioned that it's been a while. Time goes by way too fast. I don't know how long ago this was, maybe a couple years. You call me, let's have breakfast. We go to a little coffee shop in Toluca Lake. You say, I want to show you kind of a rough film about Sean and what happened. And I said, sure. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm sitting in the coffee shop. There's people in there. You push your laptop in front of me, and I push play, and I'm wrecked. I mean, I'm bawling in this coffee shop. And I'm like, Kevin, thanks, man. This is
I kind of do remember that. I like to see a big grown man crash in public.
I had people looking at me, and I wasn't embarrassed, but my thought was, this is amazing. So from then until now, the rough draft to Sean Miracle, the Sean Miracle movie right now, talk about that process and also how we can find the movie.
Well, it's pretty much the same movie. I think there's been some what we've really done is we focus more on repackaging it, meaning telling it in a different way, presenting it in a different way. We redid the website, and I've got to say, Frank, that it's an amazing website. There's a picture storyboard of photos of Sean and our family, and you touch them, you press on them, and it tells a little story. So it's this photo storyboard that gives kind of a glimpse into our family and reveals who we are, and then it goes into the movie. And we have it in five languages. We have it in Amharic, which is an Ethiopian language. We have it in Spanish subtitles. We have it in Hebrew subtitles. And we have it dubbed in Farsi because we've pumped the movie into Iran through the Mohabbat satellite into 8 million homes in Iran.
Wow.
They've seen the Sean movie, or at least they had access to it. So really what we've done is fine-tune how we present it, the website, and just basically there's not a whole lot of changes to the Sean Miracle movie, as you know, from the Sean movie itself. It's just been changed and repackaged, so to speak. So it's as powerful as ever. God continues to use it. It's anointed. It shows people coming. You know, it helps people come from the darkness into the marvelous light.
Yeah.
It gives hope. We're living in a cancel culture society. It basically says that there's a God that loves you, that will help you through your challenging times. If you're, you know, no matter what you're going through, you know, God is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So we just want to give people hope, and this movie does just that.
And we can access it at SeanMiracle.com. Is that the best way to get it?
Sean, yes. SeanMiracle.com, or it's still under the SeanMovie.com.
Got it.
It's on YouTube. It's on the website. It's free. It's the best 20 minutes you'll spend, not because it's about our family, because basically our family shows our failures. It shows our issues, our challenges. It shows our struggles, which my wife's a private person, and she wasn't so keen about putting that out there for the world to see. But we felt like it was a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord, to magnify the name of Jesus, and that's why we made it. We humbled ourselves before the Lord. We just want people to come to know Jesus because they need to know him. They need to do life with him and to spend eternity in heaven. That's the way you get there.
Amen. Amen. SeanMiracle.com is the website, and Sean is S-H-A-W-N, SeanMiracle.com. Kev Dog, we've got like a minute or two, and I would always be remiss if I didn't ask that we just transition a little bit and talk about your ministry. Part of the reason why you moved to Las Vegas, U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. Talk about your current ministry.
Yeah, it's the website's a great website. We train and equip people to get in the fight. USIAHT. We work with politicians to change laws federally and at the state level. We have offices in five cities. We have the first and only boys traffic safe home in America for little boys that have been sex trafficked, 17 and under. We just got a 12-year-old from Oklahoma the other day.
Wow.
We're basically bringing restoration to little boys that have been caught up into that evil. We work with rescue teams that go get kids back. And we support two girls' homes, and we're basically fighting demand. Here's the problem, Frank. We've got a bunch of men. We've got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of men in America paying to rape our children, paying to have sex with our kids. It's perverse. It's evil. It's sick. It's darkness. And we're trying to go after demand. We're trying to go after men that are buying sex from children, raping children for money. And so we use technology to do that. We're helping other victims as well. We're doing everything we can to eradicate human trafficking in America with a special focus on ending child sex trafficking in the United States.
U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking is the ministry, so just the initials, USIAHT, U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking.org is the website. Kev, I appreciate you so much. I love you a great deal. I am.
Thank you, Frank.
I'm humbled by the work that you're doing and looking forward to what God would have for you and the Malone family and Sean, and maybe you and I partnering with our ministries in the future.
Amen, my friend. God bless you. And as I say to all my good friends on Friday afternoons, Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, amen. All right, brother, give my best to everybody. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.